Good morning. It's good to be here this morning and to be part of this worship service. I was impressed with the many youth who went to Pittsburgh yesterday and witnessed for the kingdom of God, and not just the youth, but all that went. Thank you for that. I was hoping to go along yesterday, but it seemed like Viola was under questionable circumstances yesterday morning, so we didn't go along. But it's a real blessing to have youth witness like that and people witness to this lost and dying world. And we are happy to be here this morning and to be part of this worship service. I was impressed with the song, "As You're All on the Altar." And one of the phrases in that song is, "Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word?" It just asked that question. And have peace and contentment alway. You must do His sweet will and be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. One of the things that we must do as preachers is we must preach a balanced gospel message. And it's easy for me to not preach on doctrinal issues. It's easier for me to be more revival-oriented and inspiration and so forth. But the Bible does say that the Word of God is, in 2 Timothy, it says that it's profitable for instruction, for reproof, and so forth. So this morning I want to preach on the principle and practice of the Christian woman's veiling. One of the reasons I'm doing this is because I looked back through my notes and I saw it in my personal experience. It's been about 14 years since I preached on the Christian woman's veiling. And, I do want to preach on the Christian woman's veiling this morning. And I hope that all of you will pay attention. I can see the men saying, okay, I can take next half hour sleeping or whatever, it's an important subject, and it's definitely tied to how we brethren respond to this. And many Christian churches throughout history have practiced this wearing of the head covering. In fact, it was the norm throughout the Middle Ages, in the early church, in the Middle Ages, and even in the Old Testament, the ladies, sisters, the godly people, I believe, wore some kind of veil. But as recently as 1940s, the Lutheran Church required a veiling in the worship service. And we know that there are many churches that practice some form of the Christian woman's veiling. And the Catholic Church is probably the one I'm thinking about most now. Muslims practice a veiling. I believe Hindus and so forth, that they are practice the veiling. We want to look at the proper and scriptural view of the principle and practice of the Christian woman's veiling. It is, I would say, it is the cornerstone of our nonconformity. It is it is one of the first things that people see about us. And you women, you sisters, are wearing something that is very significant in Scripture. So as we As we think about this, I'd like to just read from you the verse in the Great Commission that we teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. And as you already know, we're going to 1 Corinthians 11, so I invite you there for the discourse on the Christian woman's veiling this morning. 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul is speaking about this practice. And I think I'll just read this now, the first 16 verses. And I think to get us all involved and to keep us all involved, I will read the first verse and you read the second verse. I will read the uneven numbers, the third verse. You read the fourth, I'll read the fifth. Now, I know this is a little bit confusing, and I probably will get confused myself, but let's all stand and let's read this together. I will read verse 1, and then you all read verse 2, and we'll go along. I'll read the uneven numbers, and you read the even numbers of verses. Verse 1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God."
"Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, is honored with his head."
"But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man."
"For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man."
"Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man."
"For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head, because of the angels."
"Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord."
"For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also not of the woman, but all things of God."
"Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering."
"But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God."
Okay, thank you. You may be seated. 1st of all, I wanted to ask, did anybody ask about the covering yesterday at Pittsburgh? Maybe not. They did? Okay. All right. They asked about it in Pittsburgh yesterday, so we often have questions about the Christian woman's veiling. Number one, point number one, to follow Christ is to practice this ordinance. It is a commandment of the Lord. First, verses 1 and 2 said, "Be followers of me, even as I also am Christ. Now I praise you that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." The Apostle Paul is making a plea to the Corinthian church. Follow me as I follow Christ. And you keep the ordinances that as I delivered them to you. Now the Corinthian town, the Corinthian city, was a wicked city. It was rich. There was a lot of commerce going on in Corinth. And it was a wicked city, and it was known for its lewdness and its prostitution. The city of Corinth was called the Eye of All Greece. That it was the pinnacle. I mean, it was somewhat like New York City would be today. We see New York City as the flagship city in our country. Many of us have studied that in our social studies books and so forth. And the morals of Corinth was terrible. So we want to keep this in mind as we look at this this subject. To take on the inhabitants of Corinth, were they would Corinthize, like they would become like people in Corinth when they came to this city. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on that, but the Apostle Paul said, be followers of me, imitate me, or mimic Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. He was on intimate terms with Jesus Christ. And following Jesus this morning, dear sisters and brothers, is often where the battle line is. In practical ways, like to wear a covering stands out. And why in the world do you wear a covering is the question. Well, be followers of me. Remember that, and keep the ordinances as I have delivered them to you. There's some very common reasons why people do not wear the covering anymore. And I've heard Protestant preachers say that this is what the Bible says. They freely recognize that the 1 Corinthians 11 here says wear a covering. But they said, but they concluded, one of the most popular ones, popular Protestant preachers that I read commentary on and even heard him preach, he said that this is a cultural practice for the city of Corinth. And is this practice, as some say, just for the Corinthian culture? Or is it for all time and the church? Well, I freely say that it's for all time, and it's for all Christians, and it's for the church. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 37. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. It says, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of what? Of who? Someone finish. The Lord. You take the chapter headings out, and it flows right through to 1 Corinthians 14, and it, Apostle Paul gives testimony about his own writings, and he said it's the commandments of the Lord. And when somebody asks you about this Corinthian culture thing, or tells you that that's what it was, you take them to that verse, where it says, the things that I command you, they're the commandments of the Lord. So it is for 2024 in our society today. Many who have once followed this practice at one time have come to this wrong conclusion that it was a cultural practice for the lewd Corinthian culture. Today, I freely stand up here and say without any hesitation, without any doubt at all, that it is the commandment of the Lord for all time. Number two, they say that it is a trivial thing and relatively unimportant that it is the principle of headship that matters. Well, part of this sermon, we want to talk about why we want a veiling on the head, not just the principle. So we'll get that later. And then number three third reason they don't wear the covering anymore is that they have concluded that the hair is the covering or the veiling that is talked about in verse 15 in our text. And we're going to look at that also. So let's remember that it is a commandment of the Lord to wear a covering. Keep the ordinances, it's Apostle Paul says, as I have delivered them to you. Keep is to seize and hold down the ordinances. Now the word ordinances is interpreted in different ways, in different use of different words, and one of the words that is used is traditions. Traditions and ordinances come from the same word. I probably don't have time to go into all this, but the one I would like to quote here is in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, where he says, "Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from everyone that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition or the ordinance." The same word, tradition and ordinance, is the same root word, same Greek word, that you withdraw yourself from every brother or sister that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received from me. So the Apostle Paul said in that case over in 2 Thessalonians that it's important that you keep the tradition, and there has to be a fellowship line between those who do and those who don't. That's the conclusion that I have made. So moving on to the second point of the message this morning, the principle of headship is a creation principle that is to have practical expression. The principle of headship is not new with the Corinthian church. The principle of headship is from creation. And here in 1 Corinthians 11, it talks about God, Christ, man, and woman. And that is a permanent arrangement. He said, verse 3, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and that every man is Christ, and the head of Christ is God." It's God, it's Christ, it's man, it's woman. This is the way God ordained it. This is the way God outlined it. This is God's government of people. And we could go back to Genesis and look at that, but I don't think we will this morning. But finding our place in submission to God's order is an imperative for having a relationship with God. Man outside of Christ is not in God's order of headship. A woman without a covered head is saying she was equal to man. Man without A relationship with Christ is outside of God's order of headship. If you're not a Christian, or if you're not exhibiting Christian conduct, don't expect you to be worthy of being the head, brethren. Just keep that in mind. The essence of this principle, the headship principle, is love. Is love. When a man has love for those surrounding him and those under him, it is easy for the woman to respect him and to respect her head. But if there is no love there, Christ's love, then it is hard for the woman to respect her, even though it is important that you continue to wear the symbol of headship. Men need to practice love as Christ did, so that the woman always know that the men are acting in the best interest for the woman. 1 Peter 3:7 says, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together with the grace of life." And we could go to Ephesians 5. But just remember that the principle of headship is a creation principle that is to have the practical expression of love down as head. The wife is to love those above her. And the sisters are to love those above her. And it is a creation principle that God has set up, that it's God, Christ, man, and woman. I can't change it, nor can feminists change it. In our world today, although this is, you know, in 1940, 60, 70 years ago, the Lutherans still practiced the headship veiling in church. And now they've got rid of it. And now you see the feminist movement on the rise, and there's no difference between men and women in society. So we don't want to bewail that fact too much, but that's what we see. And now we have women equal with men, and it's even unpopular to say that that man is above. Man is in God's order. Is above the woman in the world in which we live. Number three, man has an uncovered head because he is the image and glory of God. Man has an uncovered head because he is the image and glory of God. Verse 7, "For as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." Dear folks, this morning, the feminist movement has it wrong. They have it wrong. Let's just say it like it is. They're dead wrong. Man is the image and glory of God. He is the governor. He is the one who takes the lead. Number four, point in the message this morning. Woman is to have the head voluntarily covered because she is the glory of the man. By putting that covering on your head, you are saying that man is above me. And that's God's plan. Now this word, there is a different Greek word for the word cover and uncover here. It means that it's something that is put on your head voluntarily. You didn't know this morning when you put your covering on that you were voluntarily saying that man is the head. Did you? Did you think about that? So this is something that is voluntarily put on. That is the, that says that I recognize man is the head. It's very important. And we do that in contrary, being contrary to the world in which we live, the feminist movement and all that in which we live. Well, we're going to run out of time here, but I want to give three quick reasons a sister covers her head from 1 Corinthians 11. In verse 4, it says that every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. If he has any cover on his head in religious significance, why he, and when he prays, he dishonors his head. He dishonors his head, Christ. But every woman that prayeth or prophesied with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. Meaningful worship, prayer, devotional life, is part of this headship principle. You should wear your covering when you pray and when you prophesy, like we heard some do this morning already. That's part of why we wear the headship veiling. That is one. Successful prayer and prophesying is a result of finding yourself in God's order. Number two, we already talked about that some. A sister wears the covering voluntarily because she recognizes man as her head. We do that, and that is why we wear the covering at all times, because we recognize that principle. And the third reason, and there's much more we could say about that, but the third reason is found in verse 10. It says, for this cause ought the woman to have power, or that means word means authority, on her head because of the angels. Now, interesting, that is very interesting, and I'll be glad to entertain what that might all mean. But I'm going to just take the simplest reason that I can think of because of the angels. You wear this covering because of the angels. You ever think about that? You wear it because of the angels. You have authority on your head because of the angels. Now, we know the angels have ranks. They have authority. There's the archangels. There's and so forth, and it goes on down. I'm not sure what all that might mean. But because of the angels, you wear the covering. Psalm 103, 7:20 says that, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Angels are agents of carrying out the everlasting mercy of God. And They hear and do his commandments. And they identify with you in the wearing of your covering, because they are subject to someone above them, and they identify with you, and they It says they excel in strength and do his commandments. Whatever all that means. Angels minister. They minister. In Hebrews 1, it says they minister unto the heirs of salvation. And worship and heavenly revelation has to do with your obedience to this command. The angels are around you. They were around you at Pittsburgh yesterday. They're around us in this building today. The angels do always behold the face of your Father which is in heaven. They are angels, are there in the presence of God, and they behold you. They understand your obedience and your desire to walk with him. And also, it could be that there are angels, there are evil angels around you. And I fully believe that yesterday in Pittsburgh, there were evil angels around you. There is in our society. And in 1 Ephesians 6:12, it says that there are principalities and powers and so forth. And they are the rulers of the darkness of this world. But it says, therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you may withstand in the evil day. Your obedience to this principle has a lot to do with you withstanding temptation. That you may be able to withstand in that evil day. It could be that you go to the mall and you see evil things and so forth like that. It could be, it's very, very probable that if you're wearing your covering in obedience to the word of God, that God is protecting you. So it's because of the angels. Men and women, thirdly, men and women are equal before God with different roles. We know that to be true in the passage. Fourthly, the women to wear a covering and long hair. Well, how long should a woman wear her hair? That's the question. Well, I say that you have long hair if you have hair as long as God lets it grow. Right? We have a lot of people that cut their hair. They have long hair, but they cut their hair a little bit. But long hair as long as God makes the hair grow. I just want to touch just a little bit on the last verse in the passage we read. It says, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And I heard that to be interpreted, well, you know, people gripe about this covering, like, out the door, don't have to wear it. Well, a correct interpretation of that, and that verse is that this is what we do in the church. If any man seem to be contentious, we don't practice that. We do this. We practice the headship veiling. We practice the Christian woman's veiling. There is no other custom or practice for Christians. And I want to talk about the practice just a little bit here. Before I close, we must see this practice as vital to a relationship with God. We must see this as, number one, is we must see this practice as vital to a relationship with God. I don't know how God sees the ones that aren't covered, all the Christian ladies and so forth. But according to my interpretation and the wording of this passage, we must see this practice as doing this practice is vital to a relationship with God. Number two, the glory of the hair must be covered. That is, throughout the passage, is that the hair is a glory to you women. You women have beautiful hair, much more so than men. And the glory of that is to be covered. So as a practical principle, your covering needs to hide the glory of your hair. It needs to be the most prominent feature of your head is the veiling. So the glory of the hair must be covered. Thirdly, it must be a covering that serves no other purpose than to show voluntary subjection to God's order. I wear this covering because God told me so. Let's be done. God says, wear it. And of course, there's things on the other side, on this side over here that we must, that play into that. Fourthly, the wearing of the covering is not an end in itself, but it must be accompanied with a submissive spirit in dress and demeanor. It must be accompanied with a submissive spirit in dress and demeanor. If your dress is immodest and you're still wearing a covering, I'll let God decide. But you think, does that make sense? Does that make sense with God? Doesn't to me. It must be accompanied with a submissive spirit in dress and demeanor. And fifthly, the one is for you, brethren. You, brethren, leading around a sister or have her for your daughter, for your wife, whatever. The brethren, you should show an equal submission to Christ in your appearance and in your lifestyle, or this principle of headship over here on this side is said, oh, that must be a cultural thing in the Mennonite church. Wonder where they came up with that. They can make more sense if you show submission to Christ in appearance and lifestyle, and then they look over and they see a nice covering on the head in submission. They say, oh, yes, they want to follow God.